There are few other additional derived pricing strategies. Product line pricing. Product line means you have understood now what is product line. So now under my if I have to offer razor with the after shell and the shaving gel, then probably each one may together cost 300 rupees. I may offer it a 250 rupees. So that's a product line pricing. I offer this as a product line, you know, combo. Captive product pricing. There are many products where, say, with the printer, you have to have a printer cartridges. Yeah. So then you offer a captive product pricing that, you know, your original product, probably you may keep it little lower because you know that from the printer cartridges, etc., where you can charge higher because this is the item that customer will have to continue to buy. So that's how you probably go about your pricing strategy. Bundle pricing. You bundle one product with the other. Yeah. So you bundle a detergent cake with, say, hair shampoo, or you bundle a ketchup with the Maggi noodles, etc. So that's how you get into bundle pricing. Two different product line products are bundled to promote one of the product which has a challenge in the market, you know, in terms of acceptance and, you know, repeat purchase, etc. Psychological pricing. This is the pricing which is fixed in a way that people will feel that it is lower than, you know, the value that it offers. A concept much used in our era by Bata, which is their pricing used to be always 99 rupees, 199, 149. It's like, so you they say that is, or say there is a $1 store across US and all those kind of thing. In India also now that concept is catching up, 99 rupees store, etc. So every item there is like 99. They're all psychological pricing, and so where people feel that they get value for money and they are not actually paying higher amount. Geographical pricing. International level, these aspects come in where, you know, price in one country where you are dominating may be higher, but your entry level price in the other country may be kept lower. Even within the country, you think that you are strong in Western market, you probably charge higher, but in the Southern market, you probably may have to charge lower. So that's a geographical pricing. It depends on the acceptance, etc. Also, there what competition is doing and all. Neutral pricing. Here you have entered in a market knowing that this product will have up X life, yani, and at any given point of time you probably do not want to get into changing the price, whether it is growing, whether it is maturing, whether it is declining, etc. Here the assumption is that at a right time you will withdraw from the market, yani. So in such case the one fixed level price is introduced and it continues to remain that at a different PLC stage also. Optional product pricing, and this is a very new, it's new means now about a decade and all kind of thing, wherein they compel you to buy the basic product, but later for getting something extra, you have to pay more. Airlines have started using these concepts, like you buy an airline ticket, but when you get into get the web registration done of your seat, then aisle seat, the window seat, etc., they charge you for that. Yeah. So you have to pay for that. Yeah. For extra to get a specific seat, yeah. So otherwise you all are crammed into the middle seat, for which there is no charge levied. So this is how the optional pricing is done, yeah. Optional pricing is also a strategy which allows you to maximize. So like in airline, one or two incidences I have come across myself wherein when you reach counter, because it's a, like, you know, final phase, they say that the price are very high, but then you request them, then they tell you, okay, sir, wait ho jao. एक घंटे पहले तक राह देखो, आई थिंक यू विल गेट अ यू नो बेटर प्राइस. सो व्हाट हैपेंस, एयरलाइन व्हेन दे थिंक दैट बुकिंग्स आर हैपनिंग एंड पीपल आर क्लोजर टू द फ्लाइट डे एंड टाइम, दे विल चार्ज हाई, बट एज द टाइम, यानी 8 बजे की रात की फ्लाइट है, बाय 5, बाय 6, बाय 7 दे विल ड्रॉप द प्राइसेस बिफोर देयर डिपार्चर अनाउंसमेंट दैट इज टू हैपन और द रजिस्ट्रेशन इज टू ब्लॉक. Sometime before that they drop the price. So at such time the people who are in queue waiting at the counter get a preference. So they not only get a preference, or they get a ticket, but they get a ticket at a far lower rate. So that's also an optional product pricing, airline practice. Value pricing. Here it's not that the customer value based pricing where I'm offering a value and then I'm charging high. It's like a it's something to do with economy, but at the same time it still offers you a value. So like for example McDonald's, when you go to McDonald's, you have various other packs, and but they also offer you value meal. What they call value meal, it has certain items in it at a lower cost, so they offer you a choice of even eating the value meal. So they've devised, there may be the burger size is less or whatever that they do about it, but it's a value meal. So you get a choice to use such products. So that's how the value pricing comes. There are areas where pricing strategy differ. Institutional pricing. Institutional pricing either refers to the bulk pricing. They either buy in bulk or they buy technology products once in a while, or there's a capital item. So big boiler or big machinery. So all those aspects vis-a-vis the being rational, they follow that rational pricing strategy. But yes, there is always a margin for your being innovative, for your being service oriented in the past with them. So in such case, the institutional pricing is a kind of a, though follows a rational route, but is a give and take. How you have supported the organization, how your brand corporate image is, whether you are considered as an innovative product developer or what, etc. All those factors matter. Again, the buying circle is there, buying center, as I told you that concept, where somebody has originated a request, but the buyer is somebody else. So there is a tender, they will invite multiple prices, they will invite multiple quote, then they will study each product. It is not like a government tendering where the lowest always wins. Here the institutional pricing, they reserve a right to choose the right vendor for them. So that's where the institutional pricing plays a role. Government pricing generally follows a tender route because they needed to show that they have been transparent, they will be not favoring anybody, etc. So as a result, the tendering concept is floated. So open tender, limited party tender, etc. Open tender is like the tender is invited, the prices are quoted, etc. And then one particular day the tender is opened and the lowest guy gets the project. And a limited party tender in the sense, you don't want to make it a very open tender and anybody can invite. No, you know that this track manufacturing or the track laying can be done by only few select parties. Then you invite those select parties to quote for your tender. Or you need that this new age railway bogies can be supplied by only Japanese manufacturer or Vietnamese manufacturer, Malaysian manufacturer, or maybe Chinese manufacturer, etc. Then you invite only them to quote for it. So that's what tendering is with limited party tender. There's always a tender that has to be submitted. There's always a process that has to be followed to show the transparency in it. However, there are stages. You then hear something called no regret prices. So they then often call you that, sir, we have received your tender, we have opened, but we want you to give you one more opportunity. So this is not given to everyone. So if 10 parties have applied for it, it may get a call, 3 or 4 or 5 of them will get a call saying that we want you to give you one more chance, give us your no regret price. So no regret price means now you have one chance, you offer that price. Company may or may not come back to you at all. So you may lose an order or you may get an order at that level. Or match the offer price. They then come back to you. Okay, sir, there is a competitive bidding that has happened. You are shortlisted as a party out of 10. There are 4 players that we have shortlisted. We are proposing you and telling you, can you supply at 10 rupees per piece? So they have given you the target. Now you might have quoted 15 rupees, you might have quoted at 14 rupees or 12 rupees or whatever. They tell you, sir, you please tell us whether you can supply us at 10 rupees or not. So that's a match the offer price. There is no guarantee even after that, but you may accept and you may confirm to them that yes, I am willing to supply you at 10 rupees. Then they will evaluate, the competitive evaluation of the party is done and then the contract is awarded. So that's the government pricing. It is a good concept, a very critical concept of price elasticity of demand that we need to really understand. What is elasticity? I stretch a rubber, it may stretch as much as I stretch or it may break. So that's an elasticity. So same is applicable to price. It's a measure to show the responsiveness or an elasticity of the quantity demanded at a particular price. So responsiveness to price is the elasticity of demand. It gives the percentage change in the quantity demanded vis-a-vis percentage change in the price. So if price moves by 5%, what happens to your demand? Whether your demand moves up by 5%, whether your demand goes down by 10%, what is it that? So that's the elasticity. Price elasticity is measured either as a elastic or inelastic. So that's what one need to really understand, what is elastic and what is inelastic. Rubber khicha aur jitna khichte gaya khicha to elastic, khicha lekin toot gaya to it is inelastic. And so that's what in simple term. So what is price elasticity? Let's understand this concept. When any change in price takes place, whether there is any impact or no impact on your demand, that's the price elasticity. Whether when I stretch a rubber is stretching or breaking, that's an elasticity. When it is stretching, it is elastic. When it is breaking, it is inelastic, etc. So something of that sort. What it says, like if there is a any change in the price but have no impact on the volume, then it is said to be set at 1. Now with that concept in mind, price elasticity of demand less than 1. So what it means that for the increased percentage in price, volume is not so much impacted. So therefore the price elasticity of demand is less than 1. So you take an example which is given below. For the change in the price of a petrol, if the volume demanded changes only marginal, then you say like for the 50% increase in the price, volume demand is changed only 25%, etc. So then the price elasticity is said to be less than 1. So that's what it's like. For example, petrol is a classic example for price inelastic. And relatively inelastic means, even if the price is increased, there may not be significant decrease in the demand for the product. So that's a relatively inelastic. Price elasticity of demand more than 1 means demand is inelastic. Soft drink in our era used to face this. The moment they increase price, the price fall, in almost equal proportion. So therefore they were elastic in nature. Relatively elastic means the price, the moment is the price increase, the demand equally falls. So that's why the relatively elastic this thing. And otherwise, so you need to understand this price elasticity of demand vis-a-vis the price increase in relation to the volume change. So I have given you that example of price elasticity, percentage change in quantity divided by percentage change in price. So 50% change in price, if it leads to 25% change in the volume, then the price elasticity of demand is minus 50 per 0.5. So that means it is less than 1, so it is inelastic. And so that's the example which I took for the petrol. Price elasticity, what is price elasticity? To know more, price elasticity demand, that infinity site suggests a perfectly elastic demand. So percentage change in price equal to percentage change in the demand. So the demand will, if the price is increased by 5%, demand will go by 5%. Perfectly inelastic demand. So there won't be any change. Even if you increase the price, there won't be any change in the demand. So that's a perfectly inelastic demand. Relatively elastic demand, so that is more than 1. Soft drink sales does get significantly affected if price is increased. And I gave you that example. Relatively inelastic demand, which is price elasticity less than 1. I have given you the example of petrol already. Unitarily elastic demand. So there is a not so significant change at all. So the price elasticity of demand is almost equal to 1. So that's a unitary elastic demand. So this concept enables the marketeer. So elasticity of your product, which is demand vis-a-vis the price, must be known to every marketeers and must be accounted while framing a pricing strategy. So this is the concept that one need to be really aware of, and that allows you to decide your pricing in the market. Price vis-a-vis the customer value. Most companies price their product based on their cost, and therefore they really lose out on capturing the value that they have created, if at all. If it is no value created, then the cost-based pricing is all right. But you create a value, but you still move that cost-based pricing approach, means you have really failed on one particular aspect, which is a value-based pricing. Consumer-based pricing, today the approach is that what value you are giving and what value are you retrieving from the market, that is your ability to extract value pricing from the consumers. So consumers are willing to pay, provided you are willing to give them the required value, they may not negotiate on the price. Yani. So negotiating price that will accept. So like negotiating the price is like you give little value, extract more price from him. So that's what your ability to extract more from the consumers. From the value perspective, Warren Buffett has once said, price is what I pay, value is what I get. So he knows, the customer knows what is the value he gets. Yani he is getting more than what price he paid. Now, as such, it may not be known to the seller, but seller, today they say, if it is essential for you to know whether customer feels that more value is received by him, then you are in a position to determine your value-based pricing and extract more from the consumer. When a firm has a clear understanding of the value it creates for the consumers, then firm is in an advantageous position to extract more value-based pricing from its consumers. Amazon recently raised the price of its Amazon Prime service by almost 33% annually. Since the price includes unlimited 2-day shipping of orders, free shipment of 40,000 movies, TV episodes, free browsing of 5,000 Kindle books, etc., the perceived customer value is far higher. Yani. Therefore, that price rise was so absorbed by the consumers. Yani. So, you see that they realize that what value that they are offering will be considered far more than the 33% rise that they have called for. So that's the value, customer value importance in pricing. What are the challenges in pricing? Price alignment with product's life cycle stage. Now we have taken a theoretical approach that in the introduction you may be low, then as you grow you will start, or maybe introduction and growth stage you are skimming the market, then you have a choice of reducing or making price competitive or penetrative pricing, etc. But every time it may not go as you wanted. Yani. So product life cycle stage, there is a challenge whether you will be able to align your pricing to the tune of marketing challenge that you have vis-a-vis what competition is doing. The market growth, yani, you have visualized certain growth, but market may not grow in that manner. So that impacts your pricing. Erosion in the product value. The value that you have offered, either you are not able to deliver as a brand promise or competition has started offering better value. Therefore, there is an erosion. So, therefore, there is a challenge to your current pricing strategy. Post-skimming strategy. Okay, it is good that you know initially that your innovative product is entering market first time. There is no competition, substitute, etc. But after what? So, that also is a challenge. One need to really visualize beforehand. Because as you move and as you succeed, the competition will start moving in. Now, the rate of competitors' ability to copy your product and introduce, etc., or provide a better technology product determines how long can you have a skimming, and then after what should be a challenge. Pricing during maturity. So, when you reach maturity, there is always a challenge. Either you decide whether you want to extend the maturity period, then your pricing could be different. Whether you allow maturity to go into decline stage, then your pricing could be different. But in a decline stage, again, you have a challenge. Whether you want to continue with the same price and allow the decline to happen, you want to slow down the decline by offering discount and other incentives, etc. Pricing during, so that's a challenge always, decline stage and maturity stage, the pricing, this thing is a challenging this thing based on market condition, competitive moves and your decision to either continue, harvest or stop. So pricing of service, now let's understand the pricing of service, which is a different ball game. Pricing is different in the service because customer knowledge of service price. Yani. Customer is aware of your price. He is inquired with few others about your charges for beauty, this thing, or about your waxing and those kind of thing, or your bridal makeup, how much you do, etc. So customer is aware of it. However, when he is aware of it, he is not aware of what is the difference that you offer in your service. Service provider is aware that he is preferred more and he can make out from what is his offering, how customers are coming to him, etc. So he gets that idea. He has a hunch that why is he preferred more. So needs of each customer differ. Yani. So when customer knows your price and he is aware of it, but his needs are different with you when it comes to you. There is also non-monetary costs which play a role. Customer, if he is not aware of you, he will have to search the time cost, the convenience, and you are near or far, etc. Whether you offer telemedicine, whether you offer telephonic advice, whether you offer telephonic diet plan, etc. on a virtual conference, etc. So even those are the aspects that matter. So there's a psychological cost, etc. So this is like a, in service, how are you attending to the customer it is beyond non-monetary aspects. So price is an indirect indicator of your quality. And higher price and you still get customers, it indicates that your service quality is much recognized in the market. Customers make reference to your value that you provide for money. And so people, when they like your service and the price, even if they have paid higher, they will still refer it to the others. And because you are offering much value for money when it comes to pricing. Pricing base methods and difficulties linked with it. So you have in the service the cost based, competition based or the demand based pricing, but there are difficulties. Costs are difficult to trace in service. You don't know how much volume are you going to get, how many customers you are going to get in a period. Labor rates are fluctuating. You may need skilled labor or you may be all right with unskilled labor. Costs that you pay to same skilled labor and the other skilled labor may be different because at that point of time, you need a skilled labor because the other guy is left already. So that's why that's a challenge. In the competition based, small firms may afford to charge less. They are competing with you. They are small. Their cost of operation is less. Heterogeneity of service limited limits the comparability. So services are so different, so may not be you can every time relate with the cost, etc. So competition prices are different to match it, and apple to apple comparison is not possible. Prices may not really reflect customer value because there are some special prices offered to certain category of customers, or institutional service prices are different, etc. Demand based, demand based is to do with non-monetary cost, needs to be reflected as value. Service cost information not easily available, so, and price is not central factor when it comes to skills. Lawyer, doctors, etc., they immediately make out that prices are demanded, their services are demanded, and therefore they charge very high. So that's the subject matter, the difficulties in pricing of services. Few prevalent pricing strategy we'll quickly cover. Cost-based pricing. So here again is one of the same factor, either you cost and add markup to it or fee for service. I don't want to get into this thing, I will charge 500 rupees per hour or my rate is 1000 rupees per hour, etc. So it's not a cost base, but it's a fee that I charge for the service that I render. Competition based pricing, here service basket of the competitors are evaluated. You standardize your service and then you match it with the service of the competition, say for example courier. Many couriers have express service, but at that time prices are different also, but some others, and except the leader, the others will have to start being around your prices and going rate pricing. In the market, when there are many competition, generally what happens is the going rate, the leader will decide the price. So the moment he changes the price, either he increases or reduces the price, others will follow because their survival depends on whatever that you price in, so it's a going rate pricing, as they say. Price signaling, so price signaling is something which is generally called for in a market of a competitive nature, wherein you get into providing an indication to the market that market requires a better service, or market calls for the realignment of the pricing, and therefore your pricing that you declare, it signals to the market. So like for example in the car industry or the auto hiring, etc., the moment one guy either increases based on the, say, increase in the price of a petrol, he increases the price, so then others will get that signal and they will also increase. The increase may not be reflecting actual increase in the petrol cost, but that's the time when it has happened. So the increase in the petrol cost has compelled many car service provider to increase their price, especially post lockdown, even during lockdown, petrol and diesel prices have gone up so high. So the moment one does it, the other follows. So it's like relevant to the key cost factor of your product or the service that you provide. So that's a cost based and the competition based pricing. Demand based pricing, based on the perceived value that you offer. Value low for me. So here what they say, value is low, price for me. So value is what I want in price. So there are customers who look at your pricing different way in a demand based scenario. So there are customers who will say, okay, why low price is a value for me. So if you offer your service at a low price, then I am there for you. I want to take your service. Value is what I want in my service. So I will pay you, but I need these services. Value is quality I get for the price that I pay. I will pay you, but I definitely need a good quality. So that's what a value for me. The quality is a value for me. Value is what I get for what I give. Yani. So here I pay you more, I get more. Yani. So how much, whatever you get me more, I will pay you more. So the value concept is different when it comes to demand based pricing. So value is from the customer perspective. These statements are from the customer perspective, which a service provider can take into account if he has to resort to the demand based pricing. So friends, we have understood a very important subject of pricing. Thank you.